in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是7月16日，北京时间下午6点。首先，请您收听一组美国之音的国际新闻。在与俄罗斯总统普京举行1对1峰会的几个小时前，川普总统在社交媒体上批评美国当前与俄罗斯关系的状态。川普总统在推特上说，由于美国多年的愚蠢，我们现在与俄罗斯的关系处于最糟糕的状态。川普总统前往赫尔辛基时还发布了一系列推文，说他无论在峰会上做得多好，都会被批评说还不够。川普总统星期一在芬兰总统官邸与芬兰总统尼尼斯托共进晚餐时，记者请他进一步解释，他只谈了与芬兰的双边关系和上星期的北约会议。川普总统说，北约成员国正在迅速履行防务资金占 GDP 比例的义务，北约现在比以往任何时候都强大。芬兰是欧盟的成员国，但不是北约的成员。数千抗议者星期天聚集在赫尔辛基的参议院广场，抗议主题包括环境、难民权利以及反对战争。美国宣布将制裁任何与伊朗做生意的国家之后，美国据报拒绝了欧洲盟国提出的免于相关制裁的要求。来自外交人士和其他官员的消息说，美国国务卿蓬佩奥和财政部长姆努辛致函英国、法国和德国，说美国在制裁与伊朗做生意的国家时不会提供广泛的豁免。根据最先报道这一消息的美国是全国广播公司的报道，蓬佩奥和姆努辛在信函中说，他们希望给伊朗政权施加前所未有的财政压力。美国说将会出于国家安全和人道原因给予有限的制裁豁免。这个信函是回复英法德三国的上个月的询问。美国今年早些时候退出了伊核协议，伊核协议的目的是以伊朗制裁其核活动换取的制裁。美国媒体报道，以色列特工潜入伊朗的库房，悄悄取走有关伊朗制造核武器计划的数万页文件和将近200个电脑硬盘。纽约时报最先在星期日版报道了这个消息，以色列总理内塔尼亚胡使用这些文件作为方法之一，促使川普总统后来宣布美国退出2015年的签署的核协议。内塔尼亚胡还说，伊朗仍然试图来制造原子弹。美国一家主要报纸报道，川普总统指示高级外交官员谋求与塔利班直接谈判，争取通过与这个激进组织进行谈判来结束长达17年的阿富汗战争。美国的《纽约时报》星期天报道，这一行动标志着美国在阿富汗政策的重大改变。《纽约时报》说，这一计划已经被若干高级美国和阿富汗的官员证实。一些美国高级官员最近访问了阿富汗和巴基斯坦。《纽约时报》说，他们与这两个国家的主要关系正在进行会谈，准备与塔利班直接谈判。美国和朝鲜军事将领举行会晤，讨论将朝鲜战争期间阵亡的美军人员遗骸归还事宜。韩国的消息来源说，驻韩美军联合国军事指挥参谋长空军少将迈克尔在非军事区板门店7月15日星期天与朝鲜军队的一位将领会晤。美国政府星期一的报道说，美国2018年第二季度同比经济增长为6.7%，比第一季度增长减少了0.1%。各位听众，以上是国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是确认计划第一部分，重点学习怎样预定餐馆座位和改变计划。电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is in his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
The last time we talked, we discussed your phone call with Mr. Blake.
Yes, that's right. He and I talked on Monday just after he arrived in San Francisco. And then on Tuesday, Mr. Blake and I had lunch together. Afterwards, we drove around San Francisco.
You told him that you were going to arrange a meeting with your boss, Ms. Shirley Graham.
For a lunch meeting on Wednesday, yes. I made a reservation for 12:15 on Wednesday at a nice little restaurant in San Mateo.
San Mateo?
Yes, it's just south of the San Francisco airport.
Now let's listen to your phone call to the restaurant. We'll see how you made the reservation.
Jackson Grill, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
For how many people?
There will be three of us.
Let's see. I'm sorry, but I don't have a table at 12 o'clock. I do have a table at 12:15. How would that be?
That would be just fine. Could we have a quiet table if possible? We'll be discussing business.
I'm sure we can arrange that. Could I have your name, please?
Sure, it's Epstein. Mike Epstein.
Could you please spell that?
Certainly.It's Epstein. E-P-S-T-E-I-N.
Okay, Mr. Epstein. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday at 12:15.
Thank you.
词句转换。
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
I'd like to reserve a table for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
For how many people?
How many people will there be?
How would that be?
Would that be okay?
Could we have a quiet table if possible?
Would it be possible for us to have a quiet table?
Could I have your name, please?
Could you please give me your name?
下面我们要结束同 Epstein 先生的访谈。
You were able to get a table for 12:15.
That's right. They were busy at 12 o'clock. So I needed to check with Ms. Graham to confirm that this time was good for her. And then I needed to confirm the time with Mr. Blake.
Well, Mr. Epstein, that's all for today. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴，今天我们要讲在美国如何向餐馆预订座位。
Hello everyone and welcome again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Welcome everybody.
Well, Gary, we have an email question about American restaurants.
What's the question?
The question is, how do I make a reservation at an American restaurant?
It's not difficult. They'll ask for your name, the time, and the number of people in your group. Some very popular restaurants will also ask for your phone number.
Why is that?
So that they can call you on the day of your reservation to confirm the reservation.
What if my plans change? What if I have to change or cancel the reservation?
Then you should call the restaurant as soon as possible.Some restaurants will try to call you if you don't show up. So it's important to cancel if you cannot be there.
Thank you, Gary.
My pleasure.
商务对话，一位女士打电话给餐馆取消预订的座位。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Softstone Cafe, how can I help you?
Yes, this is Suzanne Weatherby. I have a reservation for Thursday evening the 21st at 8 o'clock.
For four people? Yes, I have it here.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to cancel the reservation. I'll be out of town that week.
Okay, I see. Would you like to make a reservation for another time, later in the month?
Well, I'm not exactly sure when I'll be back.
Okay, I've canceled your reservation for the 21st. I appreciate your calling.
No problem. I look forward to coming to your restaurant sometime next month.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you. Thanks again for calling.
Thank you.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about restaurant reservations. We'll see that the people use a lot of the language functions we've been studying. Requests, apologies, confirmations. In Mr. Epstein's conversation, we heard him making a reservation at the Jackson Grill. He begins with a request, using the expression, I'd like.
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
The woman at the restaurant makes an apology, beginning with, I'm sorry, but...
I'm sorry, but I don't have a table at 12 o'clock.
She then asks for confirmation, using the expression, how would that be?
How would that be?
That would be just fine.
He then requests a quiet table, using the expression, could we?
Could we have a quiet table if possible? We'll be discussing business.
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Finally, the woman confirms the reservation by repeating back the information.
Okay, Mr. Epstein, we'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday at 12:15.
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
下面我们复习本星期的第二课，确认计划第二部分，重点学习怎样用恰当的语言进行确认。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mike Epstein from his office in California. Welcome, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
After you met with Mr. Blake on Tuesday, June 11th, you went back to your office.
That's right. And then I spoke to my boss, Shirley Graham, about our plans to meet with Mr. Blake the next day, Wednesday.
The three of you were planning to meet at a restaurant for lunch.
That's right. Ms. Graham wanted to meet Mr. Blake, and we needed to discuss some of the details of the new project.
Let's listen to the first part of your conversation with Ms. Graham.
Okay.
Come in.
Oh, Shirley, do you have a minute?
Sure. Come on in, Mike. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks. Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, okay?
With Mr. Blake?
That's right, of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock, and we can go to his hotel together.
All right.
Okay.
接下来请大家注意听老师示范做一些词句的代换。
Do you have a minute?
Could I speak to you for a moment?
Have a seat.
Please sit down.
I just wanted to let you know.
I wanted to tell you.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
12 o'clock is fine with me.
下面我们继续听 Epstein 先生同 Elizabeth 之间的对话。
You report to Ms. Graham, don't you?
That's right. She's my boss.
How did you feel about the meeting she was going to have with Mr. Blake?
Well, I knew that she was very concerned about the October deadline. The factory was scheduled for completion in October. Everything had to be finished by then. I felt confident that Mr. Blake's company could deliver on time, but I knew that Ms. Graham wasn't so sure, so I was a little nervous about the meeting.
I understand. Well, thank you very much for being on our show today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴，在众多的美国商人中，如何识别哪一位是重要人物？
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Ingleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Today, we are going to talk about who is most important in American companies. The email question is, when I meet a group of American business people, how do I know who is most important? In my country, the oldest man is usually the person in charge.
That's a very good question. It's true that in America,Many companies are run by older men, but you cannot tell who is important based only on age and gender.
Gender?
Yes, whether a person is a man or a woman. In some companies, very young people have important positions. One famous example is Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft. The oldest person is not always the most important. And in many American companies,Women hold very important positions.
So how do you know who is in charge when you meet people for the first time?
You should wait for introductions and listen for job titles that indicate an important position.
Such as?
Oh, titles like director or vice president or manager.
What about business cards? Can they help?
Yes, you can often get good information from business cards.If you exchange business cards, take time to look at the cards carefully. The titles on business cards will often let you know who is most important. One final word of advice. In business, Americans are rather informal. On the surface, they often try to treat each other equally. If you treat all the men and women you meet with respect, you can't make a mistake.
Yes, that's the best strategy. Thanks again, Gary, for your valuable information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Excuse me, do you have a minute?
Certainly. Please come in.
Thanks. I made an appointment for us to see Mr. Myers.Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
11 o'clock on Wednesday? I'm afraid not. I'm busy all morning.
That's too bad.
How about 1 o'clock on Friday?
That's fine with me.
Would you call him back and see if Friday is good for him?
Sure, I'll call him right away.
Thanks.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Ingleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about how to confirm plans. In the business dialogue, Ms. Powers tells Mr. Malone that she has made an appointment with Mr. Myers. Then she checks to see that Mr. Malone is available at that time. She uses the expression still free because his schedule was free the last time she checked with him.
I made an appointment for us to see Mr. Myers. Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
Unfortunately, Mr. Malone's plans have changed, and he is not available at 11 o'clock on Wednesday.
Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
11 o'clock on Wednesday? I'm afraid not. I'm busy all morning.
That's too bad.
I'm afraid not is a polite way to say no.Earlier, in Mr. Epstein's conversation with Ms. Graham, we also heard him confirming plans. He told Ms. Graham that he had scheduled a meeting with Mr. Blake. He wanted to make sure that it was okay with her.
Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, okay?
The expression, I just wanted to let you know...is a polite way to give information to someone. In this case, okay means, is that time okay with you? Notice how Ms. Graham confirms that she understands the meeting arrangements.
With Mr. Blake?
That's right, of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
Asking questions and using the expression, so, are excellent ways to confirm information. Also notice how Ms. Graham uses an incomplete sentence instead of asking the direct question, when should we leave?
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
These are just some of the ways to confirm information. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is attending a conference in Seattle. She'll be talking to us by phone. Welcome, Ms. Graham.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show.
Can you give us a little background on the project you were working on last year?
Certainly. As you know, Advanced Technologies makes computer parts. To be more specific, we make electronic components for computers. We also manufacture office computers.
Where are your factories located?
Our main factory is in Los Angeles, but we have smaller plants in Northern California, and we have two factories overseas.
Last year, you were in charge of a project to construct another factory in Northern California.
That's right. I wanted to find ways to cut costs and improve productivity. One way to do that was to use robots. So we needed as much information as possible about companies that made industrial robots. That's why I sent Mike Epstein to the trade show in Beijing last spring.
And that's where Mr. Epstein met Mr. Blake.
Yes. Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company that makes industrial robots. Mr. Epstein was very impressed by their technology, and so we agreed to meet with Mr. Blake when he came to the U.S.
Had you ever done business with a Chinese company?
No, we hadn't. So that was one of my main concerns.
Could you be more specific?
Certainly. Mike Epstein told me that the robots were of the highest quality. I'm not an engineer, so on technical matters, I trust Mike's judgment. My concern was with after-sales service. Once the plant was in operation, I had to be sure that things would run smoothly. That means a good maintenance and repair program. I was concerned that a foreign company like International Robotics could not provide adequate maintenance. Mike didn't seem very worried about this, but I was very concerned.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
It's nice to be back.
We have an email question about American workspaces and offices.
Oh, good. What's the question?
The question is, do most American executives have private offices?
Good question. In most companies, executives and managers, high-level employees, have private offices. By a private office, I mean a room with a door that closes.
And they don't share the office with a coworker.
That's right. In general, the more important the person, the larger the office. Americans are concerned about personal space, and a large, comfortable office is a sign of status.
What about other workers, workers who don't have private offices?
Well, most American workers like to have their own workspace, so company work areas are often divided into cubicles. Each worker has his or her own cubicle.
What exactly is a cubicle?
Cubicles are small, square work areas. They have low walls that can be moved easily. And cubicles usually don't have doors.
So there's not much privacy?
No, there's not.
Where can people meet if they want to talk? Cubicles are too small for meetings, aren't they?
Most companies have common areas or meeting rooms for groups to get together. And in American companies, informal meetings are held everywhere, in cubicles and offices, in the coffee area or cafeteria, wherever people meet.
Powers 女士打电话给 Myers 先生，更改约见日期。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
I see. Could I call you back later today? I want to check our schedule for Thursday.
Good. I'll be expecting your call later today.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
I'm afraid that Mr. Malone is not free on Wednesday.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
I realize that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make polite refusals. To refuse means to say no. Let's listen to the business dialogue and see how Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers say no in a polite but clear manner.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers begins her refusal with an apology. I'm sorry, but... And then says that Mr. Malone is not free to meet with Mr. Myers on Wednesday. Let's listen again.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
Then she suggests another time for the meeting. She begins her suggestion with the very polite expression, if it's convenient for you.
If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers would like to meet on Friday, but Mr. Myers thinks that is too late. He begins his refusal by showing he understands Ms. Powers' situation.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
And then he gives his reason for refusal.
We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers both show concern for the other person's situation. Now let's listen to another version of this conversation. In this conversation, both people are too direct.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. We need to change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday.
Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. We should meet as soon as possible.
In this conversation, Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers do not show concern for the other person's feelings. Their direct statements sound rude and demanding. So, if you have to say no to someone, be sure to show that you understand their situation. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，您现在收听的是美国之音的中文广播，接下来请听这个小时的简要新闻。在与俄罗斯总统普京进行一对一的峰会之前的几个小时，川普总统在社交媒体上批评美国当前与俄罗斯关系的状况。川普总统在推特上说，由于美国多年的愚蠢，我们现在与俄罗斯的关系处于最糟糕的状态，现在居心叵测的猎物。他指的是美国联邦特别检察官对俄罗斯干预美国2016年大选的调查。川普总统前往赫尔辛基时还发布了一系列的推文，说他在峰会上无论做得多好都会被批评为说不够好。川普总统星期一在芬兰总统府与芬兰总统尼尼斯托共进早餐的时候，记者请他进一步解释，他只是谈了与芬兰的双边关系和上个星期的北约会议。川普总统说，北约成员国正在迅速履行防务资金占 GDP 比例的义务，北约现在比以往任何时候都强大。芬兰是欧盟的成员，但不是北约的成员。数千抗议者星期天聚集在赫尔辛基的参议院广场，抗议的主题包括环境、难民权利以及反对战争。在与俄罗斯总统普京举行峰会前，川普总统再次降低了对这次会谈的期望，并且令人震惊地批评了传统上华盛顿的一个最亲密的盟友。哥伦比亚广播公司新闻问川普总统，他认为谁是美国最大的敌人？川普说，我认为我们有很多敌人，我认为欧盟是一个敌人。你现在不会想到欧盟，但他们是敌人。川普还表示，俄罗斯在某些方面是敌人。欧洲理事会主席图斯克很快就在推特上做出回应，说美国和欧盟是最好的盟友，谁说我们是敌人，谁就是在传播假新闻。美国宣布将制裁与伊朗做生意的任何国家。美国据报道拒绝了欧盟提出的免于相关制裁的要求。来自外交人士和其他官员的消息说，美国国务卿蓬佩奥和财政部长姆努钦致函英国、法国和德国，说美国在制裁与伊朗做生意的国家时不会提供广泛的赦免。根据最先报道这一消息的美国全国广播公司的报道，蓬佩奥国务卿和姆努钦财政部长在信函中说，他们希望给伊朗政权施加前所未有的财政压力。美国媒体报道说，以色列特工潜入伊朗的库房，悄悄取走了有关伊朗制造核武器计划的数万页文件和将近20个电脑硬盘。纽约时报最先在星期日版报道了这个消息。以色列总理内塔尼亚胡使用这些文件作为方法之一，促使川普总统后来宣布美国退出2015年签署的伊朗核协议。内塔尼亚胡总理还说，伊朗依然试图将来制造原子弹。美国的一家主要报纸报道说，川普总统指示高级外交官谋求与阿富汗塔利班直接谈判，争取通过与这个激进组织进行谈判，来结束长达17年的阿富汗战争。纽约时报星期天报道说，这一行动标志着美国在阿富汗的政策的重大改变。纽约时报报道说，这一计划已经被若干高级美国和阿富汗的官员证实。美国和朝鲜的军事将领举行会晤，讨论将朝鲜战争期间阵亡美国军人遗骸归还事宜。韩国的消息来源说，驻韩美军联合国指挥部参谋长空军少将迈克尔·米尼汉在非军事区的板门店7月15日星期天与朝鲜军队的一位将领会晤，这是双方将领9年来第一次会晤。中国政府报告说，2018年第二季度的同比经济增长为6.7%，比第一季度增长减少了0.1%。各位听众，您听到的是美国之音的国际。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视7月4号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。中国科技日报总编辑刘亚东近日发表一篇演讲，在中国引起很大的反响。他指出，美中在科技方面仍存在巨大差异，类似厉害了我的国这种思维呢，其实是夜郎自大，而曾让国人上下感到自豪的弯道超车，不过呢是偷机取巧。人民日报也连续发表社评反思浮夸自大文风，称经常充斥各类媒体的美国害怕了、日本吓傻了、欧洲后悔了等天下第一的错觉，无形中助长了民粹主义情绪，有百害而无一利。那么为什么我的国突然不厉害了？中国宣传部门风向突变，内部有何玄机？浮夸自大风的源头又在哪里呢？今天我们时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在北京通过电话连线参加节目的是北京外国语大学国际新闻与传播系教授展江。展教授您好。
你好。
在香港通过视频连在香港通过视频连线参加访谈的是香港浸会大学传理学院高级讲师吕炳权。吕老师您好。
主持人你好。
我们看到刘亚东这篇题为除了那些核心技术我们还缺什么，这篇演讲呢指出了中国和西方美国等国家的这个差距，引起了很大的反响。我首先来请问香港的吕炳权高级讲师，您怎么看刘亚东总编辑的这篇演讲呢？
这个刘总编所说的话就是这个非常正常的话，我觉得这是为什么一个正常人说出一个事实来讲会引起这么大的一种反响，是不是因为我们有时候在中国一个比较夸大之风，不停的搞范围性的这种夸大之风底下呢，连讲一下真话都变得现在好像非常那个罕有一样的。其实大家心里面都非常明白，中国的这个科技实力啊，本身它是在进步的。但是如果说跟这个世界顶尖的水平来讲，还差一段非常大的距离。我们很简单的看看我们身边有什么这一些大的品牌啊，是由中国来就是能够领先天下的，有哪一些品牌大家呢都是如果有的用的话呢，有的选择的话都不用外国的，都会用中国的。我们自己每一个人的行为呢都不是这样子，就算是我们的习近平的那个第一夫人啊，这个彭丽云，她以前去外访的时候一开始拿的都不是国产的电话，是拿着一个 iPhone。 为什么他会用这个 iPhone？ 因为它是比较好用嘛，这个种种呢比较可靠。到后来呢人家就质疑啊，连这个第一夫人他都不去用这个国产的电话的时候呢，他后来才专用这个国产的那个手机。所以呢我觉得这次刘亚东只是说了一些非常正常的话，但是呢背后其实呢真的是警醒了我们这个浮夸之风的。
好的，那么我来请教北京的展江教授。我们说刘亚东这个演讲呢引起很大的反响，其实呢也包括有不同意见，比如环球时报发表的社评呢似乎就对刘亚东的这个演讲有所保留。那么有些评论人士更是认为刘亚东所说的其实在逻辑上跟厉害了我的国是一样的路数，只不过是负面的煽情而已。那展教授您怎么看这个问题啊？
我觉得科技日报刘总编的这个讲话实际上是最近几年非常难得的一种直面的批评。非常难得是说最近几年啊这个浮夸风确实太厉害了。比如说代表性的人物，我可以举一两个啊，一个举一个个人啊，一个叫周小平的青年啊，周小平对吧，我们大陆的人都很熟悉的。另外一个呢就是环球时报，那他们的风格是一样的，和厉害的我的国的这个套路是一样的。所以现在反过来指责这个 这个刘总编的这个意见是同样的套路，是负面的煽情，我是不赞成的。为什么？因为最近几年这种声音是听不到的啊，可以说得到了社会中多数人的，我不能说多数吧，至少是相当多的有识之士的共识共鸣啊。正是因为我们现在很难表达这样的声音，所以呢更显得这个观点啊弥足珍贵。那么当然了，说是负面的煽情，我觉得这个恐怕目前对于负面怎么界定啊是一个问题，因为最近几年我们几乎看不到批评的声音，我觉得这对于政府啊和执政党都是不安全的。
好的，那么现在呢我们已经有一些网评进来，来回应我们两位嘉宾的观点，我给大家读一下啊。JSQ Broberson 这位网友呢，他说其实我们都知道中国的实际情况，只不过从小中国梦中国梦的，看来葛佩尔那句谎言重复1000遍成真理的名言不是吹的。另外一位叫李猛，这位网友说，他说中国的体制就如同一辆下山的大货车，没有刹车，只有油门方向盘，猛一看下山速度又快又猛，很吓人，其实自己很危险。领导就是司机，技术好的话呢还可以跑远一些，一不小心连自己的性命都不保。好的，现在有些电话也在网上，我们先继续讨论，然后呢我们再讨论一个问题呢，我们再来接我们听众观众朋友们的这个电话。科技日报这个总编辑的演讲呢，他在时机上看起来是很敏感的，恰逢美中贸易战一触即发，中兴公司呢又遭到重创之际啊。我首先请问吕老师啊，您对这个时间点有什么看法？美中贸易战和中兴的问题又如何影响到民众和传媒的这个情绪呢？吕老师。
其实这个刘总编的这个说话，还有之前呢就是这个厉害了我的国背景啊，这个也是在这个中美贸易战呢那个尤其是中兴这个事件出来之后呢而发生的。大家也非常清楚的看见，就是在这个中兴的事件里面呢，看见这个中兴公司做了种种呢非常就是愚笨的一些行为，就是用各种这个文件呢希望呢用暗号啊，用各种见不得光的方法然后呢去绕过这些措施，去对这个北韩啊伊朗等等的那个地方实施这种贺运，而其实呢他们是被禁止的名单里面的。而整个那个中兴本身呢，它的这个技术呢，我们也见得它这个核心的东西最重要的那个晶片啊等等芯片呢都是要依靠美国的，所以以前你怎么吹得好，这件事情已经呢是非常赤裸的让人家看见那个中国的本身的实力去到哪里。你如果不停的吹什么新的四大发明啊，吹什么这个中国梦啊，吹这些中国有一天很快的在经济啊科技啊军事啊等等啊称霸全球的话呢，这个其实跟大家能够看见的这个落差非常大。而这个如果你不停的吹的话呢，其实那个美方呢会给你更大的施压，然后那个世人呢国人呢也会心里面对你烧的齿烧的更加厉害。所以在这个时候呢降温低姿态一点，也希望呢这个双方的那个关系可以温和一点。如果呢哈你这个芯片根本就是不行的没有这个顶级的技术，然后你在厉害了我的国里面不停的吹自己是世界宇宙第一的话呢，那其实就是自己呢就是一点念都不要。所以这个时候呢把它杀一下低姿态一点呢，我觉得也是算是回到那个部分正轨。
亡羊补牢，看来犹未晚也，这是吕老师的这个观点。那么我来请教展教授，人民网我们看到他接连发表了3篇时评，反思所谓的跪求体、哭晕体、吓尿体等浮夸自大的这个文风，有些这些有官方背景的说法，这是不是预示着中国宣传部门的风向正在发生一个重大的变化呢？展教授。
我相信是这样， 应该说正在发生变化，但是变化到什么程度呢？还有待观察。刚才提到了这个时间点，我说一下我的个人的看法。
好的。
在中兴事件爆发以前，包括最近这个贸易战以来，这个我本人对中国的科技在改革开放40年来发生的巨大的进步，我还是感觉到这个还是比较了不起的。但是呢，因为我们是科技的外行，所以对具体的哪个科技领域里面，到底中国和西方的差距有多大，或者说没有差距了，我们缺乏了解。这一次啊，通过阅读浏览大量的信息，我们知道即使是在一些关键性的，我们在那个我的国厉害了我的国这个纪录片里面所展示的中国的那些强大的部分，其核心技术似乎还是依赖于国外，依赖于西方，就不得不让我们警醒。我们回过头来看一看，40年前邓小平启动了改革开放，改革开放之初邓小平就提出召开科学技术大会，提出科学技术是第一生产力，但邓小平同时又指出中国和西方的差距是我们是应该是学生啊，我们应该是韬光养晦，虚心学习。可是40年以后出现了这样一种狂妄的一种风气，我觉得这个实在是需要转变了。所以现在的转变，我同意吕老师的意见，正当其时。
好的，现在我们有听众观众朋友们等候在线上要加入我们讨论，我们通过连线的方式把他们接进来。我来接电话。首先是天津的张先生。张先生你好。
你好，美国之音。早在94年说吧，曾经有一个想法，我想建立第四帝国，就是当年还是东北沈阳推有一张小字报，我说我有一个梦想，虽然寻求志同道合的人，然后我坐火车去上海，上海碰见邓小平和美国朋友，还有台湾人，可能日本人知道。我曾经这个跟2013年还是2014年，是11月份还是12月，我曾经给北京打热线，北京的
好的，谢谢天津的张先生啊。天津张先生的口音很重，我们有点听不清楚啊。下一位是上海的李先生。上海李先生你好。
一个泼墨的女孩叫董瑶，是我们家附近的一个房地产中介吧，最近失恋了，情绪很不稳定，而且她刚刚办理了这个去美国的签证吧，为了申请政治庇护吧，所以才做出这种丧失人格、丧失国格、卖国求荣的事情，非常可耻。至于这个科技日报社的总编辑，给他5年时间，他如果搞不出一个世界级的发明来，就枪毙他。战话，
好的，谢谢上海的李先生，但是我听着是上海的唐先生。下一位是天津的王先生。王先生你好。
觉得中美之间这个科技差距在一个甲子以上。你想要成为这强国呀，这和平发展那就会把你掐死在这摇篮之中。拿血来换。必须加强军力，美国也是这么做的。都是靠战争树立了这霸主地位。
好的，谢谢天津的王先生。王先生指出了一个事实，他说美中之间的科技差距呢，在一个甲子年以上，那就是说60年，不知道是真是假。我们在接下来讨论当中可以讨论这些问题。我再给大家读一些网评，我选读一些吧。山崎中这位网友说，吹牛是近代的时尚，也是共党文化不可或缺的一部分。靠吹建立了中共，靠愚民搞了大跃进和人民公社，大饥荒饿死了数以万计的中国人，又靠吹牛变成了厉害了我的国，吹大了，打了脸也不思悔改，这就是共党的一贯立场。利用唐这位网友说，共产党是实事求是的百年政党，大跃进之风不可再重现，人民日报的批评可以理解。变异后的90后，他说，我的国压根儿就没有厉害过，所谓的科技发展都是在西方科技基础上进行的，百姓吃饱饭不过是百姓自己恢复的生产能力，天朝上国不过是自古以来的狂妄传统。如楼他说，中国当下的改革太激进了，很多事实表明习近平没有治国的才能。 No 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 李，他说新时代浮夸风，上有所好，下必甚焉。好的，刚才呢我们接近了听众观众朋友们的电话，以及选读了一些网友的评论，大家的观点看起来是各种各样啊。这样我来首先呢请我们两位嘉宾呢综合回应一下我们听众观众以及网友们的评论和他们的观点。首先香港的吕老师，
觉得就是不少那个网友啊听众啊都觉得就是这个浮夸之风呢就是好像重演了一样。其实像那个展老师所讲啊，以前在这个邓小平的那个时代还有那种韬光养晦啊老老实实的实事求是去发展那个国家。尤其是那个经济搞上去呢去到搞科技的话要非常圆圆满的一步一步的一步一脚印的那个去做把那个基础搞好。但是呢有时候我也非常那个同意北大那个张维迎老师所讲，你要搞科技国家要进步的话呢它那个自由的土壤呢它不可以没有的。如果你说这个国家呢是一方面是集权的，人家不可以自由思考，不可以自由呢去探索去说话的，然后你说啊你要搞一个什么什么项目用这个举国体制去搞的话，你可能能跑到一段，但是呢到一个非常关键的地步的话呢你会发现有那个瓶颈，因为你没有那种真正的百花齐放让这些搞科技的人还有各方面的人才啊能够在这个土壤里面呢去自由并放的按着那个市场按着那个大潮流去做，而不是呢好像这个国家任务叫你共建一个什么什么东西然后呢你在里面去做。很多时候呢因为你没有那个真正的那个积极讨论还有呢这种真的这个体制上的那个保障啊法制上的这个产权的保障，变成会搞一些什么呢很多年前出现了一个汉芯一号的那个事件，就是说你要搞一个什么什么国家级的那个芯片的工程，到最后呢你不是老老实实去搞用国家的钱然后呢买人家呢那个芯片外国的芯片来然后就把它磨了，磨完之后呢就写呢这个汉芯一号的名字上去，这个是一种浮夸的作假之风。所以呢我认为我们要搞科技一定要有那个自由的那个风气还有那个制度上的保障才可以长远的这把国家搞上去的。
好啊，北京的展教授您的回应。
好的，我想用一下我们官方的一些说法来解释目前的这个现象。我们都知道官方最近几年一直在倡导马克思主义新闻观，根据我对马克思和马克思的那位搭档恩格斯的了解，他们第一他们非常重视报刊，那个时候只有报刊没有其他的媒体没有广播电视互联网，他们非常重视报刊的规律，他们认为报刊具有一种连植物都具有的内在的规律，这种规律是不能强制的，不能是通过外来的力量所改变的。所以最近前几任的中共领导人包括习近平也讲到过要尊重新闻的规律，可是现在经常新闻的规律得不到尊重，这是我的一个用官方的观点来讲所以现在所讲的马克思主义新闻观经常是被曲解的可能变成了列宁或斯大林的新闻观第二个就是马克思和恩格斯他们非常反对浮夸这个恩格斯曾经说过一句话，他说沙俄的浮夸之风，沙俄就十九世纪沙皇俄国可见如果他们在世的话他们会对目前这种风气是非常反感的另外一点我想说一下，就是中共正史上所讲到的历史上的几次重大的这个造假和浮夸之风，这都是由这个宣传和媒体造成的那么至少有三次是让我们回忆起来触目惊心的。第一次是1942年左右解放日报，当时还在延安，他就是说要批判一种在战场上造假在那里编新闻的这种叫克里空他当时起了一个根据俄罗斯的一个剧本苏联的一个剧本起了一个记者的名字叫克里空，这是第一次。第二次我印象比较深刻的当然就是吕老师刚才提到的 大跃进时期，这我们都比较了解了，什么一亩地能产一万斤水稻啊，等等等等啊，人民日报当年也有很多这样的类似的新闻。第三个当然就是文革了，文革我们称之为叫假大空，那树立的人物都是所谓的高大全，或者就是对立面阶级敌人。那么文革以后，新闻界的一个重大的由官方主导的一个拨乱反正的运动，恰恰就是坚决反对假大空，恢复新闻的本来的面目。当时提出了一个口号，就是真实新闻的生命。
嗯，
那么现在看来就是说厉害了我的国这个片子啊，我不好给他做一个全面的评价，因为我没有认真的这个观看过。但是我非常为这位比较年轻的导演魏铁感到惋惜，因为他此前拍的一些纪录片应该说还是有生活积累和他的生活经验在里面的，但是他要驾驭这么大一个东西，我觉得超越了他的能力。
我们现在时间剩下不多了，我们再讨论一个问题。有人认为呢，说无论是厉害了我的国还是种种浮夸自大风呢，应该都是中共倡导的四个自信的这样一个产物。就连环球时报对刘亚东演讲的这个社评都婉转表明了负面煽情会损害中国人民的自信心。那我请教吕老师，您如何看厉害了我的国与四个自信之间的这样一个联系？
一开始呢，就是这个四个自信啊，还有整个国力，还有中国在世界上那个话语权，就是一直往上升。特别是那个习近平在十九大之后，在这个改这个党章，然后呢，再往后这个两会受限呢，就他整个那个权力党党呢，就膨胀到一个比较高的那个位置。然后呢，在这种风潮底下呢，就本来啊，可能吹一点呢，变得会吹得非常厉害。大家看这个十九大之后呢，这种啊，他身边的人把他吹成什么什么宇宙，好像宇宙无敌的这种说法呢，连一般人呢自己听上去也会感到那个毛管动啊，非常的受不了。那些说话的人，我们也不知道他怎么能说。但是呢，看见这些人一个吹，两个吹，三个吹，很多人都不停的吹。然后我特别也留意到网上一些精神病院啊，也用这个习近平新时代市场呢去指导了。这个跟以前呢用毛泽东市场去治精神病啊，也有一点点那个异曲同工啊。我想为什么要吹得那么厉害，为什么要搞得这么疯狂，就在这种疯狂的氛围底下呢，一些本来可能不会那么吹，不会吹得大的人，原本呢有些人敢于讲真话，敢于去质疑这些吹牛有没有事实基础。
好的，
这些人都不敢说话。
好的，吕老师，现在还剩下不到两分钟的时间了，我们给展教授一点时间啊。如果追根溯源，当前媒体对浮夸自大风的反思，会不会损害四个自信，从而影响到习近平倡导的这个中国自信心或者中国梦呢？展教授。
我先说一个案例吧，我快一点啊。就刚刚看到一个中国比较有名的经济学教授啊，他说了这样的话，他说要把中国改革开放四十年来的那个成功的案例啊写进国外的教材，让外国人学习，培养外国人的一代又一代的这个年轻人。我觉得这个居然固然改革开放取得了很多的成绩，但是这样说话无形中也可能是那种所谓的盲目自信的一种表现吧。那么现在既然最高决策层看来啊下了决心要调整目前的这种宣传的风向，那我认为这个不能过度的在那里提四个自信或者盲目的自信，我觉得是势在必行。所以在这种情况之下，即使是和以前的政策、以前的口号发生了矛盾、发生了冲突，那么在新的形势之下做出理性的选择，这也是大势所趋。
时事大家谈讨论呢，到这里就结束了啊。时间关系，不能一一接听听众、观众朋友们的电话，以及回答网友提出的所有问题。我们感谢展江教授和吕炳泉高级讲师来参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由论坛，嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈关注热点话题：中国制造2025，为何中国淡化美国炮轰？好，我是许波，下次节目再会。